Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we're going to have All Weird Friday. It's a completely weird Friday. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here. We'll do weird questions with Jimmy Akin, which is always a fun one, and we've got some very weird questions for you for the second hour. This hour, our old friend Rose Sweet is here.
Did you say old?
No, I mean our good friend.
Okay.
That's what I
okay.
meant. Our good friend, the old Rose Sweet is here. Oh, sorry, Rose. You were just at our conference, but we're going to talk about weird relationships. So we added an hour of weirdness to our Friday Weird Questions show.
Because the whole world is weird right now.
It is weird. Mm-hmm. Everything feels weird. And people are struggling in relationships, too. I mean, some people who I thought they were solid gold. They were and have said COVID nearly ruined our marriage. You know, we're struggling because of the COVID.
Right, right. No, and even at the conference, there were people there, you know, gobbling up all the good apologetics. But at break time, people were coming to me and confiding in their struggles. How do I integrate my Catholic faith into this weird relationship?
Yeah, right, so, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, well, let me ask you this then, because I think the question for Christians is often, you know, because Jesus is so clear with us about being forgiving and merciful. And if someone asks you to carry their pack for a mile, carry it for a second mile. If they take your coat, give them your cloak as well. And all of this, if it's brought, without any critical reason applied to it into, say, a marriage, it could actually be pose difficulties for that marriage, make trouble in the marriage. And I'm not saying that Jesus' words make trouble. I'm saying when they're uncritically, without being fully reasoned through, they can lead us to do the wrong things, make the wrong choices.
Yes, you're exactly right. And it's not just reason, it's the rest of Scripture.
Oh, okay.
Because there are those other verses in Scripture where we're not supposed to tolerate certain things in relationships, and we're supposed to cut things off and if they cause us to sin and all those others. But our deep desire is to be good. We want to be good Christians. We want to be like Christ. We want to be loving, and we want to please Him. I know that's the motive for a lot of people, but we don't know how to wrestle with the weird situations we find ourselves
right,
in.
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden we go, oh, do I lie down and take that? Is that what being a Christian is all about? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes it's no.
Right. Okay. And that's this discernment, how do we know how to respond to the weirdness in our relationships? That's a tough one.
Well, first, for me, I always go to the sacraments. I put on the full armor of God and I get as much grace as I can. That, you know, grace is powerful. It can
yes.
really help you to see things rightly, to think clearly, and to act justly and with love. So grace, receiving the sacraments. But you know how I like alliteration. So I always have the four things of this and the four things of that. So I shared with you earlier my four little R's.
Yes, the four R's.
So if you're in a situation, and can I just share, there was a young woman who came up to me at the conference, and she's dating a young man. She's all excited. She's trying to discern marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she starts telling me that he's not Catholic. And all of a sudden I'm trying to not, like, don't show your body language, Rose. Like, mm-hmm. run. But she's going on, and so I asked her the four questions. Well, what do the rules say? What does our faith say? You know, be chaste, be loving, be kind,
right.
be smart.
Okay.
So you go over, what are the rules of our faith? And we all know what they are.
Right.
But then I said, now let's look at the risks and the rewards. If you get into this relationship with this guy, the rewards are that you could help lead him to Jesus. You could help lead him into the fullness of the Catholic faith. Isn't that, that would be wonderful, right? But what's the risk? He doesn't go. He pulls me away from the faith. He tempts me to sin. I'm in a weakened position.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, so there are potential rewards, but there's also potential risk. And then in the very end, my last one is, what is your responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
What are the rules? What are the risks? What are the rewards? But what's your responsibility? Are you responsible for getting that guy to heaven? The answer is no. Not and to when you're married, when you're married, then yes, it's your job to help them get there, because ultimately it's God's
right
job, God's power. But those are the things that we have to, you know, use our noggin. And that's what I love about Catholic Answers and apologetics. You all fill our heads with the knowledge that we need to go through that discernment process. The problem comes when the emotions pop in and want to take charge.
Well, it's interesting that you start with the rules, because I think so often we see the rules as an obstacle. And you know who does this better than anyone is Dr. Ray Guarendi. He has the actual studies at his fingertips. You know, you could ask him about, you know, the relationship between, say, following the church's teaching on chastity and happiness in marriage. Well, it turns out the empirical science says there's no scientists who are raising their hand, I think, because they know what they'd get in the pop culture to go, hey, we should live chastely before marriage, because it actually, all the numbers say that. But the truth is, what the church teaches does in fact have an empirical effect on our happiness in relationships.
I love that you brought up Dr. Ray Guarendi in my show, because now he has to raise my name up when he's back on here.
Is that how that works?
That's how it always works with Ray.
I didn't know you two had a contract.
Oh, we do. We do. But you know what? Here we are in the San Diego area, and just a few miles down the road is the Mexican border. And I will never forget, Cy, in the early 70s, I lived down here. And my girlfriend and I decided to go to Mexico. We're going to go to a foreign country. We were so excited to cross the border. And we were going to go shopping. It was such a fun day. But when we drove over the border, this is early 70s, all of a sudden I was terrified, because there were no lines in the streets, no traffic lights, no stop signs, and cars just going.
It's gotten better since then.
Well,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I froze. I was panicked. I was uncomfortable. I was nervous. I was going really slow. And I'll never forget, I thought, I always used to hate speed limits and stop signs and red lights.
But now all of a sudden you realize the value of them.
The rules keep you safe. And
yeah,
like when you're on the freeway, if you stay within those lines, you get to go really fast and it's fun.
Yes, I see what you mean.
So the rules don't just keep you safe. They allow you the full freedom of the joy of the ride.
Right. What a great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. So yes, rules. What are the rules? What are the risks? What are the rewards? And then at the bottom line, is it really my responsibility to do this for this person or to get involved?
All right. 888-318-7884 is the number. We're doing all weirdness today. First hour with our friend Rose Sweet on weird relationships. Second hour, weird questions with Jimmy Akin. If you have questions about relationships, about how to deal with these weird times in a Christian way, and also to deal with, you know, the truth is we're all a little weird. And when that stuff comes up in relationships, there is a Christian response. And Rose would love to talk with you about it. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Right back with more after this.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
How are you listening to EWTN Radio right now? Have you ever wished you could listen on a local radio station? Maybe our Lord is speaking to your heart to help make that happen. Don't let a lack of experience hold you back. Find out how you can help start a Catholic radio station where you live. Powered by the truth of the church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming. Email Steve at this address, radio@EWTN.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Rose Sweet. Did you have a good time at the conference, by the way?
Oh.
We've been talking about the conference all week, so I might as well ask you.
I love that conference. I hated that it ended. It was so fun. All the people there are fabulous. The conversations are rich. The speakers are wonderful. And you know what? I was thinking this. Some of the top heavy hitters in the Catholic world, bishops, archbishops, cardinals, are here, and they're accessible. You know, you can go to the cocktail lounge and sit and visit with a bishop.
Yeah, especially if you'll buy the drinks. Sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that is how I got in this time, but anyway.
Yeah, no, it is like that. I mean, yeah. it's very easygoing in that way. And I thought Bishop Strickland was really very generous with his time. I mean, you know, you could, if you're the main speaker, go hang out in your room. But he was down on the conference floor the whole weekend visiting with people.
No, he was really engaged with people. And I was really impressed with his down-to-earthness and his genuine concern and curiosity about people. You know, he would ask questions, you know, tell me about your family, tell me about yourself. I watched him. He was really listening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listening is one of the things that you got to do in these relationships. So look at that little transition we just did. All right. So, it gets weird. Being married gets weird sometimes. Preparing for marriage gets weird sometimes. Relationships that are not marriages but are other things
Dating,
get weird sometimes.
Right. Parent-child relationships can get pretty weird.
Yes. Yes. They did for my parents. I think we can, the shame comes in, I'm not like everybody else, and, you know, especially, I think sometimes in our Catholic circles, you know, there's that, the Facebook image of the family, and then there's the family. And then when we don't meet the Facebook image of the Catholic family, we feel like,
a lot of shame. There's a lot of fear. And a long, long, long time ago, when I was very, very young, I read a little book called Love is Letting Go of Fear. And it really helped me dive deeper into Scripture about that whole concept of love and fear, that fear is in the way of love. And when you're in a weird relationship, you're usually afraid of something. You're afraid of looking bad. You're afraid of being bad. You're afraid of losing the relationship.
Right.
When I'm coaching people these days, and these are all good Catholic people who are coming to me, the number one problem I have is parents who are tolerating disrespect and contempt from their children because they are afraid to speak up and speak out or do anything because they're afraid the child will cut them off, won't talk to them, will be cold, or will leave. So this fear of losing the peace, losing the relationship, keeps people really in bondage.
But men and women don't do that. We don't get into a relationship and then not say things we should say out of fear of losing the other person. That never happens.
I know. In your weird world, maybe.
In my weird world, right.
I know. Well, I call them emotional energy thieves. How do you like that term?
Wow.
You're like this wall socket, right? And you either plug people in or they plug themselves right into you, and they're like this low energy, sucking the energy out of you, this low hum. You know, you're constantly worried about the relationship.
Yeah.
And you're drained.
Right. It's draining and tiring. You already told us the first thing to do is don't neglect the sacraments. Go to the sacraments. What else?
Then use those four questions of discernment. What are the rules? What are the risks, rewards? And really, what's my responsibility? Do I have to save the world? No, because Jesus already did.
Right.
All he does, Cy, and you know this, is invite us to participate in his saving work at certain times with certain people in certain ways according to our own abilities and our gifts.
All right.
But, we want to save the world. And that's a beautiful desire because that we're united with Christ in that.
Right.
Okay, so go through the four the questions of discernment. And then my last alliteration is from the Gospel of the rich young man who came to Jesus. Will you tell me that story?
Of the rich young ruler?
Yes.
Who comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to not have eternal life? How does he say it? What must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, keep the commandments. So there you go. Start with the rules right
See?
There. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, I see
good.
What you're saying. Everybody always leaves that part out.
I know.
And nobody ever listens to what Jesus actually said. Keep the commandments. And then the young man goes, which commandments? And then Jesus gives like the easiest ones. He's just like, don't kill, don't steal, honor your father and mother. And in one of the Gospels, he adds, love your neighbor as yourself, I think. And then the rich young ruler goes. And that doesn't say goes in the scripture. I just want you to know that. That's just the way I talk. He goes, all that I have done. And Jesus loved him.
If that's in the Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, that particular line, Jesus looked at him with love.
And then Jesus said, because now comes the invitation. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the rich young man had lots of wealth. So he went away sad because he couldn't do it. Wah, wah. That's not in the gospel, that part.
Okay, but no, let me ask you what happened after that. Did right. Jesus go chasing after him?
He did not.
Wait, didn't he give him a Catholic Answers book to read?
He did not do any of that, no.
He didn't offer him one more example or parable?
No.
He let him go.
Yeah.
That's the hard part for us because we don't know how to... And here it is. We don't know how to trust God. We don't know how to trust the process. We don't know how to give things time. I know as a parent, we worry about the salvation of our children. That, I think that's the number one thing that we wish we could change or control. And we have to trust God. Yeah. And we can't be anxious about it all the time. We have to, you know, do our part. And then we have to let go, which leads me into this story. There's four steps that we can do in weird relationships and all relationships.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's what Jesus did. He listened. He listened to the rich young man. He really listened. And you know, when a doctor puts a, what do you call that? Stethoscope on your chest to listen, he or she just doesn't put it one place and go, okay, I heard your heartbeat. He moves it around. He's curious. He really wants to listen to your heart. And maybe he'll put it on your back and ask you to breathe a certain way. He spends time listening. And that's what our Lord did with everybody that he encountered. He was really present to people. He didn't have another agenda. He really tuned in and listened to that person and what they were really asking and really saying.
Right.
So that's hard to do. That's deep listening. Some people call it sacred listening. But that's the first step in any relationship if you want to not get lost or, you know, lose your way in that. The next thing
Can I just say something,
yes.
though? It's so hard to listen because the other person is wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying this as a... Boy, that was the rose look I just got. You've just defeated Father Hugh for the... I am disappointed in you, Silas.
No. You know what?
But I think, like, you know, it's like... to really listen means... like, it's not just like a passive thing. Like, there's some active going, oh, okay, so this is not going to be my worldview. This is going to be a different set of views about what has happened and where we are.
Okay, hold that. Let's go back to these four rules of discernment. A freeze frame, right?
Okay.
So you're listening to somebody and they come up with something weird and you know they're wrong. That's
yes.
what you said, right?
Yes.
Okay, you quickly have to go, what are the rules?
Oh.
Be charitable.
Yeah.
Go past just the surface, you know, be like Christ. And then, like, what is the risk? This person might get mad at me if I tell him the truth, but the reward could be that God will open his ears and eyes. Do I take the risk? And then I go, well, what's my responsibility here? All this while you're listening.
Oh.
Instead of jumping to how to fix him,
mm-hmm.
you're going through that discernment. Do I open my mouth? How do I open my mouth?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I really say or not say? What's the most important thing? That this person understand that they're safe with me and that I care about them and that I'm curious about them. Okay, my mind is just going all over the place. I see this on Facebook all the time, on Catholic threads, when somebody goes, I'm going to leave the church. Everybody jumps in and goes, don't leave Jesus in the Eucharist. Don't do this. Everybody's like telling them the rules.
Yeah.
Nobody says, hey, brother,
yeah.
why are you thinking about leaving the church? Talk to me. What's going on with you? We're so anxious to fix.
Yeah, that's a very good
point. And it's
not
just men that want to fix the problem. We women are guilty of the same thing. We want to fix everything and change everything and make everything perfect.
Yeah. In my experience, men are better at relationships than women.
I agree with you.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to agree with
you
that.
You are right.
Oh, wow. This is a trick. I know this is a trick. All right. So listening, it ain't easy because if you're in a relationship with someone, you got skin in the game. And then, you know, you start to heat up a little bit. But listen. All those things.
Okay, but there's our Catholic principle of detachment. You shouldn't have that much skin in the game. That's usually the problem.
Okay.
When all your hopes and your dreams and your wishes and your desires your agendas are tied up in that relationship, you're going to get scared and you're going to start wiggling in your seat.
Oh, all right.
But if you have appropriate and healthy detachment, which remembers the big picture, that's when you can listen. Just listen and be present. Sometimes that's all you're supposed to do.
All right. I know you're the queen of alliteration, so what's the next L? If listen is the first L.
Then you lead them
either
to the truth, or if you discern that this is not the appropriate time and place or way, you lead them to a place of safety, emotional safety. I hear you. I understand you. I receive you. I'm open to you.
Oh.
That's where you don't have to necessarily lead them to salvation, because again, that's the Lord's job.
Yeah, right.
And maybe in this particular case, he doesn't want us to partner with him. He wants us to step aside, not leave.
Yeah.
Just step aside.
Let him do his job.
Right. So listen, lead, and then love. No matter what their response is. No matter whether you lose the relationship or it's a threat, you continue to love the person, which means you want the best for them. And then you let go. That's a fourth L. Just let go. God has this. God loves you. You love God. You don't have to save the world. You have to just learn where you are and what the best thing is for you in this situation. And that's why you need a good life coach like me.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
I do?
Yes, a good Catholic life coach.
Yeah, right. A lot more people could really use that. I think that's right, actually.
Okay, so we just gave a lot of content. So
yeah, but this is what Jesus did with the Virgin ruler.
Right.
He listened, he led, he
loved,
and he let go.
That's exactly right.
888-318-7884 is the number. There's a lot of people who want to talk to you. Are you feeling like talking to people today? Or
I love talking to people.
Well, you're going to have to
anybody start by... other... Never mind.
Oh.
I was thinking that, but it didn't come out my mouth.
Let's go to Ernie in Toledo, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. Ernie, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Oh, delighted to be on with both of you. So maybe you've already answered my question. You just said some beautiful things. My wife and I have raised 7 children and in a devout, loving Catholic home. And all 7 have left the faith. I mean, you talk about striking out. We cry almost every day. And we've learned that we have to tread on it so lightly, because now with the youngest being 21, they've made it all clear. They don't want to talk about it. And there's so many things that compound it, as you can imagine. So we just ask ourselves, what do we do now? How do we, like you said, let go of the fear, just let Jesus be their Savior, listen and love? Could you give me some help?
I hear your father's heart in this, and the anxiety doesn't ever really go away because of your love for them, but trusting in God will help it shrink down to an appropriate level. Be conscious in your prayer life of saying, Lord, I surrender. Do you know the surrender novena, the surrender prayer?
Yes, I love it.
Say that daily. I surrender my children to you. A lot of other people put their children under Mary's mantle. But then here's the hard part. You have to let go. You have to really say, Jesus, I trust in you. Then, because you're focusing on the result. Forget the result for now and focus on the listening and the loving. And be curious. Too many of us are not curious about what our children are doing. Who are your friends? How's your work? What's going on with your kids? we don't initiate conversation because they avoid us because they think it's all going to come back to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So they're running away from that, like the rich young man and so many other people ran away from Jesus. Look, and this is my consolation, brother. If Jesus, in all his perfection and his love, was face to face with people and he couldn't convince them to come follow him, well, if our children have that same free will, and that's a deep sorrow that they might never come back, but we offer that up and we give that to our Lord. Redemptive suffering.
Ernie, God bless you. Thank you so much for the call. Thanks for getting us started. More folks on the line. There are a couple of lines open. If you'd like to talk with Rose Sweet about weird relationships and the Christian response to weird relationships, 888-318-7884.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Monday on More to Life, the Art of Understanding.
Are you caught up in a misunderstanding? We'll help you hear and be heard.
That's Monday on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Will Coleman decided to go German. Just in case we got any listeners in Germany today.
Yeah.
Will Coleman. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Rose Sweet, my second favorite guest here with us this hour.
Wait a minute.
What?
What does that mean?
Have you ever heard Rylene Simpson when she's on?
Rylene Simpson, we're going to have a duel. She's trying to take me down.
No. You're great, though, Rose. I want you to know you're great.
Okay.
Let go, Rose. Let go. This is one of the stages. Let go.
Okay. What are the rules?
We're talking about weird relationships this hour. Next hour, it'll be weird questions with Jimmy Akin. We're doing a full weird Friday. We try to have a little bit of fun on Fridays, and it's fun to talk with Rose. And let's go to an anonymous caller listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM, satellite radio. Anonymous, you there with us? Hang on. I'm there with you now. Are you there with us, Anonymous?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. You're very clear. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Okay. This is a little complicated, so I'll start as clear as possible. My wife passed away in April.
Oh,
and,
Lord.
Sorry.
Yeah, in my grief and all that, I kind of jumped in real fast into a relationship. Mm-hmm. And this person is not very Catholic at all, but, like, I have been since my wife died. Like, I've been going to Mass every day, and I've been praying a lot. And I've been kind of helping this woman out with it, but I'm starting to feel like I'm starting to realize that there's a lot about me I still have to work on, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to contemplate and discerning the priesthood, and I'm worried that if I break things off with this woman, I could damage her relationship with God, and I'm just feeling really lost about this whole thing.
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, I'm sorry about you're still in a lot of grief, and you're processing that and your sorrow, and I love that you recognize you still have a lot to work on in yourself. What you've done is what I have done in the past as well. Out of your big heart, you have taken on the responsibility for somebody's soul. That is not your responsibility. That is not your responsibility. That is our Lord's responsibility to bring her to himself, and he will use you or a million other places or people or things in her life to do that because he loves her. And he loves her so much. In a certain sense, he doesn't need you to get her to heaven. Do you know what I'm saying with that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So love her. Pray for her. Always pray for her. In fact, this is what I do sometimes. I say, Lord, if I can't remember the person's name, add them to my morning prayer list forever until I die or even beyond, because I don't want to forget this person and I want to pray for them. So add her to your permanent prayer list and then go through those rules of discernment. You know, what is your responsibility? What's most important for you right now to get back on your feet and to get yourself in a good direction? It's not selfish to put yourself first in that regard. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that does.
Anonymous, what are you most afraid of?
I'm really worried about hurting her, and like, I jumped in way too quick. The L word got thrown in way too fast, and I just know that I'm going to hurt this person really bad by ending it. But I also know that, like, it's for the best.
Okay, hold this thought. And this is our beautiful Catholic teaching that from the pain that she feels in the breakup, God can bring a greater good out of it. So in your prayer, say, Lord, I'm going to do the appropriate thing and break up with her. I know it'll cause her pain. Please bring something beautiful for her out of that pain. That's a beautiful prayer. And then cut it off clean and don't dally, because that's even more painful. It's like the Band-Aid coming off real slow.
Okay.
And you
all right.
We hurt people. We hurt people, and we don't mean to, and we don't want to. But God is bigger than that, and he will bring good out of it. So that's where you can cooperate with him in that, in your prayers.
Okay.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much for the call. Our number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about weird relationships. I do want to ask you about something that you kind of got around to this a little bit, but we talk about, there is probably a certain, I don't know, average amount of weirdness in relationships. And I think it's higher than most people think. So then we think, oh man, this is a really weird relationship I'm in right now. But okay, so, but there are things that, you know, Jesus tells us forgive 70 times, and he tells us to, you know, lay down our lives for each other and love one another as he loved us and all of this. But there are times when it's not just weird. There's that the relationship is wrong. It's unjust. You know, someone is physically or emotionally hurting someone else, or other bad things are going on. Maybe there's an addiction problem for one of the parties in the relationship. So does Jesus have, like, what would Jesus do? Let me put it that way. What would Jesus do? Is that the right question?
Well, yeah,
for you?
And that's the beautiful thing about going into scripture is, let's use the story that we already talked about, the rich young ruler. Jesus made it very clear what the young man had to do to be in relationship with him. Jesus set a boundary.
Ah, yeah, right.
So we have to set a boundary and say, to be in relationship with me, I need to be honored and respected, and I will work with you and I will tolerate ups and downs and, you know,
right.
But there's a line that you can't cross. You can't just do whatever you want to be in relationship with me. That comes from God. You can't eat that apple from that tree and still be in good relationship with me. I'll still love you. So the scripture and the teachings of the church are full of you to be in relationship. You can't do these things.
Ah, yes.
So it's right. About boundaries, which I talked about earlier on another show. That's another difficult thing for us.
Right.
You set the boundary, and then you give the person the freedom to respond or however they want. They're either going to move closer into you or they're going to walk away, like the rich young man. So I'm sure Jesus was grieved that the man walked away. Well, we know Jesus was grieved that when people didn't listen to him.
Yes, right.
And
right.
Follow him. But he loved them anyway, but he didn't go hunting them down and say, okay, never mind, you can do whatever you want, because I love you.
Right. Yeah, there's something more to this relationship, and you're going to have to take up that something more if you want to be in this relationship.
Ultimately, it speaks to the dignity and the goodness of the human person. We can't just use people. We can't just define how things should be. There is the good, true, and the beautiful that's God. It's from God. We don't redefine it, but we try to.
Right. All right. 888-318-7884, the number. We're talking about weird relationships this hour. Next hour, Weird Questions with Jimmy Akin. We're going to go to Chicago now. Eric in Chicago, listening on the Catholic Answers app. We're glad you called, Eric. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hey, Cy and Rose. First of all, thank you so much. I'd say you are a big reason why I'm Catholic now. But
praise God for that.
Amen. My question is, I have a father who abandoned me when I was young, hasn't made any effort to maintain a relationship with me. How would I honor him, as someone I have no relationship with?
What about prayer? Do you pray for him every day?
He is someone I should definitely pray for more.
Okay. It's hard to pray for people that we have been, who have hurt us and who we don't even like.
Yeah.
Because that's in the way. Okay. So that's what grace helps us do, is if you lead not with your emotions but with your intellect, you just pick up that emotional response of hurt, betrayal, abandonment, anger, bitterness, whatever it is, and you take it to the Lord and say, I want to get rid of this. I know I keep picking it back up. Lord, help me with your grace. Go to confession. This is a way to honor your father. Get to confession and confess your bitterness toward him. And then ask our Lord for the grace to put that in proper order, the way you see and think about him. Then pray for him every day. Have masses said for him. You don't have to be obsessed with this, because relationships take two people.
Right. That's a very good point.
So you are in a relationship with him, and you will be throughout all eternity, because he's your dad. But you're not responsible for his response. You're only responsible for how you respond. So get rid of the bitterness, as it says in Hebrews, because it defiles you and troubles everybody. Go to confession and pray for him. And that's a good beginning. Daily prayer. Can you do that?
Awesome. Thank you so much. I definitely can.
Okay, Eric. Thank you.
Bless you, Eric.
Thank you so much. That's what... You know, Father, you always says to folks who say, well, I just can't love this person. And he says the same thing. Well, you can pray for them. And people will say, I feel angry when I pray for them. He said, this is not about your feelings. Just say a prayer. Just say, Hail Mary, full of grace, and get it over with. And you prayed for the person. And that, it actually is, I think, much more powerful than people think, to pray for someone for whom you have no feeling of love or even, letting go.
Yes. Well, here, it speaks to that other scripture story about the two brothers, remember, the two sons, and the one said, yes, Father, I will be obedient, and then he didn't. And the other one's like, no, I don't want to, and then he did.
And then he did, right. Yeah.
So, you don't like him, pray for him anyway.
A whole bunch more calls, but I have to go to the break. Rose, you've been listening to Catholic Answers for a long time, so this, I just want to share something with you. It's October, and if you follow Catholic Answers, you know what that means. We're kicking off our annual store-wide fall and winter sale.
Sale? Did you say sale?
Yes, with a mega event this weekend. Everything is marked down. Everything. Free shipping on orders over $40. Free! I'm reading the script exactly.
Wow, that's really good.
I know. And this year, you can earn Catholic Answers rewards points to get more free stuff. Free!
This is like Macy's.
I know.
Discount.
I think I'm reading it really well, too.
You are.
Visit shop.catholic.com this weekend and take advantage of hundreds of great deals, including on the fantastic Catholic Answers book, A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus What?
Who wrote that book?
Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him. Shop.catholic.com, mega event this weekend.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
What have you always wanted to know about the Vatican? Well, I'm your Vatican Insider, and I answer that question when I bring you the news about the Pope, Vatican City, and much more. I answer your wonderful questions about the Church. I share insights and stories told by my amazing guests from a broad spectrum of Church ministries.
Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis, Saturday night, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is here, and we're talking about weird relationships. And did you get the idea to talk about, I know some of it came from a lot of people at the conference, which we had last weekend, were kind of, because you're well known as the relationship expert of Catholic Answers. And so a lot of people were just telling you about their situation. But did you also pick it because you knew that Weird Questions with Jimmy Akin was coming up the next hour?
No, I was thinking about all these weird relationships. And then when I looked online and I saw Jimmy's weird, I go, how come Jimmy gets weird and I don't get weird? So I wanted weird. So I asked for it and you gave it to me.
All right. We were getting weird this hour with Rose Sweet. 888-318-7884, our number one in San Antonio, Texas, listening on the Great Guadalupe Radio Network. Juan, oh, we're so happy to have you. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my calls. Miss Rose Sweet, I really appreciate all of these guys saying this past hour.
Thank you.
I couldn't help but call in because everything that you've said kind of really spoke to my heart about my last relationship. Mm. I had like a year and a half long relationship with someone who I thought was going to be my wife. But towards the end of that relationship, or throughout the middle of it, even of it, honestly, I had like this really odd compulsion to almost like join the priesthood. And when I shared that with her, it became a very big fear that I was going to leave her. Mm. She became very insecure about the relationship and where it was heading because we had started it out in a very serious way. We both knew that we weren't dating casually. We wanted to date with the aim towards marriage. And I think as the relationship went on, I felt more and more constricted and fearful, both from her and from myself, to the point where I felt sometimes that I think she ended up being a little bit emotionally manipulative or controlling in some ways. And I did not feel comfortable or happy in the relationship, and I ended up ending it. And I think it was the right move to do, but it's still plagued me. Kind of, the relationship got very serious very quickly, without going into much detail, and I still feel plagued a little bit about the decisions I made, things I did in that relationship, and then ending it too, and I still feel guilt, shame, and loss from that relationship. Even it's been now probably a year, or more, since a year and 5 months since I ended the relationship. I'm kind of kept taking my contemplation of priesthood more seriously now, and kind of being part of the Melchizedek Project, thinking about that and letting myself heal.
So
from
this
that,
is something one that you'd like to get past this last relationship
pain, and also kind of living in the past with like letting that recur in my mind.
Let's let Rose take a stab at it.
I've been in a situation like you, Juan, and regret, and you mentioned guilt and shame. That's ding, ding, ding. That's a warning bell that we need to seek forgiveness. If it's appropriate and you can, I would write her a letter and say, I've been really thinking about things. I still care about you, keep you in my prayers. I failed in this regard, and I'm asking your forgiveness. And then, second of all, go to confession and confess it to the Lord for the ways that you failed and that you were sinful, and let the healing power of the sacrament help you get past that guilt and shame. You know, the guilt and shame that we carry is usually in the emotional part, and our spirit is freed and healed, but we still carry those emotions around. Let me go back to, sometimes you can't write a letter to somebody like that. It would stir things up. It would make it worse. But if you can, at least consider reaching out to the person always that we have offended. And it's never too late. You know, I'm thinking of the previous caller. You know, maybe one day his father will write him a letter and say, for the last 40 years that I never even reached out to you, please forgive me. So think about seeking forgiveness from her. And then repent and go to confession, and then get a good Catholic Answers book on the grief process, or hunt around some good Catholic sources on grieving and letting the sorrow go. Does that make sense?
I appreciate that, Rosie. Appreciate it.
All right.
And don't take responsibility for her eternal soul. That's kind of the theme that's coming on.
Thank you very, very much for the call. Rose Sweet is here. We're talking about weird relationships. And this is, I just think there's so, there's a kind of public ideal of what a relationship is supposed to be. And we so often fail at it, but we don't like to talk about that. And I'm really glad you're here talking about it, because there are Christian responses. Responses that come from Jesus' own teaching to these
right.
things.
And here's from Jesus' own mouth himself, you know, love the Lord God with all your heart and soul and mind, and your neighbors yourself. Our primary relationship that we should be the source of all our joy and our bearing and our meaning and is our relationship with God. That's the one that's not weird. It's weird on our part.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
That's all my life I was pursuing happiness and everything in human relationships and asking God to come down and bless those. And I had it backwards. I had to make him the first relationship, him the deepest desire of my heart, him my primary go-to person. And then through that lens, I could enter into these other relationships detached enough.
Yes.
That if when they went up and down, I didn't freak out and become manipulative like some women. Somebody said that a few minutes ago. Yeah.
Men too.
Yeah. We all manipulate and we all control, only in different ways, because we're scared. We're scared, scared, scared.
Let's go to Anonymous here in California, watching on YouTube. Anonymous, thank you for joining us. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hey, Rose. You were talking about earlier in the show about relationships, and I kind of had a question in regards to the relationship I have with God. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm a domestic abuse survivor. I recently lost a friend I really cared about. She was recently murdered in a domestic abusive situation. And I have struggled for many, many,
Mm-hmm. It is a struggle.
I watched on one of our previous shows on that this is great.
Yeah, anonymous. This is a horrible thing to tell you, but I'm so glad you called. But we are struggling to hear. There's some bad connection, but it did sound like.
I'm so sorry.
No. I don't think it's your fault.
Is that better?
Yes, but you've gone through these things,
okay.
And you mentioned you listened to a show about suicide.
Yeah. So I actually had to put you on speaker because I guess it's my connection went off speaker. But I listened to Catholic Answers before about suicide and how it's not a direct descent straight to hell. However, there's three conditions that could lead to hell that can make it a mortal sin. As I was stating previously, I am a domestic abuse survivor myself, and I struggled with this deeply. And because I recently lost a close friend who was murdered over domestic violence, I found a way that I feel is fitting for myself. Let me say this first. I have no friends. I have no family. My mother lost her battle to domestic violence as well. Without giving too much information, it was my father. And I recently escaped after her death. I have hired an attorney to take control and help me get to Switzerland or Netherlands, where it is legal for people with mental health to do an EAS,
yes.
Which is a euthanasia-assisted suicide.
Anonymous, we have to respond to that. So hang on, and we'll try to get back to you, because unfortunately we've got you right at the end of the show. But whatever the moral considerations are, you do not want to take your life, or if you feel that you do want to take your life, there's nothing that we're going to say except you need to find help of a different form. If you're here in the United States, you can pick up the phone and literally dial 911, and someone will take you to a hospital where there is medical care and help. And I do hear the desperation and the loneliness and the hurt and the PTSD. But there is hope for you, and God loves you, and suicide is not the path that he wants you to take. So I just wanted to say that. I'm going to let Rose say a few words, but I needed to say that quickly because we are coming near the end of the show.
Thank you. I'm so sorry to hear your pain. It makes me weep inside. Can you get down to a Catholic church and find a priest?
I have one. My fear is that, which is my original question, because I know we have to wrap it up, and I'm so sorry, is that if I would go to hell, because I don't want help. I do want to die. It's not the help I'm seeking. It's, I don't want to live anymore.
And you know what? I totally get that. I understand, because it sounds like the easiest way out from this horrible, horrible, ongoing pain that you've been suffering. I totally get it. But Saya's right. It's not the way. Please go. And I'm going to pray for you because I love you. Please go talk to a priest. And we have your number here. Maybe can we have somebody call him? A priest call him?
Well, we'll get your number. Yeah. And we'll hang on with you for a second, for as much as we can here after the show. But sense that you have that there is no other hope is the voice of depression speaking to you. And that's what it says. And it's not going to stop saying that until we find you some help. That could be a medical intervention. It could be spiritual help. But the voice is lying to you. There is hope in
Sacred
your life.
Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy.
Amen, sister. We're going to stay on the line, and we'll chat with you a little bit and see what we can do. But we have to wrap it up for the week for our radio listeners. But we'll stay on the line and we'll continue this conversation. Lots of prayers coming your way, Anonymous. I know that right now. And we'll continue this conversation after this. And for those of you listening, we'll be back, God willing, on Monday to do this again right here on Catholic Answers Live.